You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Victims of domestic violence are especially vulnerable in this health crisis because abusive partners are now not leaving to work and working from home. And even if the shelters are open, a victim has to be able to make that call, which may not happen if the abuser is home all day. To understand more, I called up Bindu Fernandez. She's executive director of NARICA, a domestic violence nonprofit in Fremont. They primarily work with abused immigrant women, a population, she says, that's especially vulnerable.
Immigration legal services probably comprises the number one need our clients have, where it is this: I am tied to my abuser through my immigration status. Or my children are citizens and I'm not a citizen. And this sometimes unfounded fear of, oh, I might get deported if I attempt to separate. And many times it is the person that's causing them harm is telling them wrong information. Many times our clients have no idea they can call 911 or even what that number is, right? So it's just this very, and I will say that we don't just serve immigrants, so we serve anyone who's experienced partner violence, intimate partner violence, right? And that's the official term for domestic violence, is anyone who's experienced intimate partner violence, we will continue to serve immigrant or not, no matter what their gender is, what their race is, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah, but definitely there are additional complex challenges that immigrants face.
And add to that a situation that we are in now during these COVID-19 times where your abusing partner might be at home all day. What are you seeing now? What are you worried about at this time?
I will say, of course, the fact that people are in closer proximity, forced closer proximity with the people causing them harm is a big, big issue. We assume with the lockdown that homes are safe, and they're not. For all of our clients, their homes are not their safe spaces. Many times they are grateful for that time their partner is at work or they are at work. And sometimes those are the windows of opportunity that they might use to leave or to escape. And those windows are closed. There is no escape in terms of how do I get out and make an excuse to go to the grocery store, right? Those excuses aren't there anymore. I will say financial uncertainty is going to lead to an increase in domestic violence situations as well. People are afraid they're getting laid off. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs. It's going to manifest somewhere. And so that's going to like rise up at home. And an example there really is, we had people that we've served who just in the last week attempted to commit suicide twice just because they were in so much more closer proximity with their abusers, didn't really know how to reach out for help, assumed that shelters were closed or not taking any people, and we finally managed to help them with finding shelter. But again, what you will see is there is this new wave of what abuse looks like and new forms of abuse with COVID-19. Some of it includes the person causing harm withholding medication, withholding insurance cards. Sometimes it's the person causing harm saying things like, all your support structures are closed. Well, are you going to go to the police and the hospital and the court system now? And most people are like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not going to dare go anywhere there. Like, none of these places feel like they have enough resources at this point, right? So, and of course, as we know, abuse thrives in isolation. So the more there are these external reinforcements of, hey, you need to stay home. There's no reason why you should be out. All those contribute to that abuse and isolation. And so, you know, of course, one thing I will continue to say to everyone we talk to is make sure that if you see neighbors and friends who seem very increasingly fearful of the idea of staying home, it is a red flag to consider and to think about, right? And to talk about in terms of, hey, are you okay? Is there something I can do to help? Can I refer you somewhere to a confidential service that can support you? But it's really important to be a little more vigilant and supportive of people that may seem additionally fearful about staying at home. And they look like our neighbors and our friends and our siblings, right? Survivors of domestic violence don't look any different from you and I. And it's important to remember that they may be successful professional women or men, but could easily also be experiencing domestic violence at home.
And after somebody reaches out to you, in normal times you would refer them to a shelter, but are shelters open right now, or what's the situation if somebody calls you and needs shelter?
Yeah, so right now if they call us and need shelter, we have a database where we know all of our shelters, so we will call them and we would try to place that person in emergency shelter as soon as possible. We don't know how that will evolve, and chances are the supply of shelter spaces will continue to decline. I would still say reach out and talk to your local domestic violence shelter agency and ask them to support you through it. What we specifically would do if we didn't find a shelter for someone would be to use our emergency funds and support them with an emergency stay at a motel or somewhere safe, right? Like a motel or a hotel, somewhere that they can spend a couple of days while we continue to try and find a shelter space for them. And I'm guessing many, many domestic violence agencies will also have emergency client funds that they put aside for these reasons. So I would still recommend to everyone that needs safety to reach out, because we will do whatever we can, and every organization that works in this space will do whatever we can to keep you safe. But I do believe that the reality will be that it will get harder to find spaces. I know there is a movement starting to talk to landlords and hotel owners who really are going to have empty rooms and spaces, to ask them if now might be the time that they say, hey, I will lease out my rooms for free. And so we're definitely having those conversations. Just to figure out, right, there is somewhere the supply of rooms that are available and somewhere all these people that need it, and how do we connect the two? So I think a lot of that will continue to emerge in the coming weeks.
It's a difficult time, so I'm wondering how you're doing, how your organization is feeling about your work right now.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it is definitely testing us in many, many ways. And there are some good things that come out of it. For example, we've always done support groups in person, and this was the first time we ever did a support group over the phone. And we were all pretty surprised by how well it went, right? And the beauty of things like that is it just suddenly increased the accessibility of a support group to anyone in the country versus what we had done locally for all of our 28 years, right? So I think there are the lessons we're learning and the ways that in a way it is uniting us more. So there's that. I will say that, of course, as an organization, we're a small organization. Something I will always tell people is also make sure, like, just as we're thinking of our small businesses, it's important to remember our small charities as well. Many of them will not last COVID in terms of their funding. Much of the funding sources are moving out into COVID efforts. And so many small organizations who cancel their fundraisers are really at a place where they have to figure out if they can stay open through COVID and past that, right? So I think for communities, it's really important to donate if you are in a position to make a monetary donation to a small nonprofit. Pick something of your choice and donate. It's really important now more than ever to support your local businesses and support your local nonprofits.
And if somebody's listening right now in our audience and has space, is owner of a hotel, a landlord, what should they do?
Yeah, so I would say have them reach out to our organization at narika@narika.org. So that's N-A-R-I-K-A. At NARIKA, NARIKA.org. We can definitely connect. We can either speak with you if you're local or connect you with our coalitions of organizations that are all trying to figure out the same stuff. One of the other things I know I want to put out a call for is tech support. We are really trying to think about text solutions for many of our clients who find it unsafe to talk to us anymore because they cannot make that discrete call they could before. And so we're really scrambling to find text solutions that are cheap or free. And so if you have tech volunteers anywhere who are listening that are interested, please email the same email address as well. We'll be happy to speak with you and really work on finding innovative solutions here. But the website is www.narika.org, and people can reach out through that at any time.
Thank you, Bindu. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Bindu Fernandez is executive director of NARICA, a domestic violence nonprofit in Fremont. If someone you know needs help, call their hotline 1-800-215-7308. And if you can help with sheltering, maybe you're a landlord or you own a hotel, we'll show you how to get in touch with them. Go to kalw.org.